So we're reading from the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, chapter 13, text 150. Brajavasi yatajana mata pita sakagane sabahaya mura pranasam tara manje gopikan shaksat mura jivan tumi mura jivanir jivan. Translation. Sri Krishna continued, all the inhabitants of Vrindavan Dham, my mother, father, coward boyfriends, and everything else are like my life and soul. And among all the inhabitants of Vrindavan, the gopis are my very life and soul. Among the gopis, you, Srimati Radharani, are the chief. Therefore, you are the very life of my life. Purport. Srimati Radharani is the center of all Vrindavan's activities. In Vrindavan, Krishna is the instrument of Srimati Radharani. Therefore, all the inhabitants of Vrindavan still chant Jaya Radhe. From Krishna's own statement given herein, it appears that Radharani is the queen of Vrindavan and that Krishna is simply her decoration. Krishna is known as Madan Mohan, the enchanter of Cupid, but Srimati Radharani is the enchanter of Krishna. Consequently, Srimati Radharani is called Madan Mohan Mohini, the enchanter of Cupid. So, in this verse it is explained that all the residents of Vrindavan are like the life force, the life force of Krishna. Without them, what reason is there to exist, that Krishna makes very clear. But then he points out that when it comes to Srimati Radharani, that she is his very life itself. Without her, there is no life. She is therefore the center of all Vrindavan's activities. And it said Krishna is simply the instrument of Radharani. So Krishna being completely controlled by Srimati Radharani. This is Krishna, who is purchased by the love of his devotee. Krishna is Atmaram, Atmarama Samuniyonya Ganti Apyuri Krama. He is satisfied within himself. But then it says in the 10th canto of Bhagavatam, Yatar Bhaka, like a boy who is playing with his reflection, Pratibimba. He is playing with his own energies. Krishna is manifesting so many different energies. And the most amazing of all is his pleasure potency. Radha Krishna Virgitir Ladini Shakti Rasmat. That Srimati Radharani is that Ladini Shakti, that pleasure potency of Krishna. Krishna says, he says that so many are praying to me, and they're all praying to me, and I give them pleasure. But who gives pleasure to me? Who can really give pleasure to me unless one who is 100 times more qualified than I am? So like this, Krishna is looking upon Srimati Radharani as unlimitedly qualified, unlimitedly pure, unlimitedly dedicated. And of course, today, Therefore, we are looking at Srimati Radharani, the emblem of pure devotion. And here we are. Like, whatever little bit of devotion we have received only by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada was, of course, flooding the world, of course, giving everything, but we are not very fertile ground. Therefore, all his good instructions have only produced very little result in us. But still, some result is there. Something is there, amazing enough. Not because of the ground, which was not favorable at all, but because of the potency of what Prabhupada implanted. So powerful that even this harsh and barren ground of our heart could not withstand the mercy. And something touched us. That is why we are today approaching Srimati Radharani, first of all. It's a prayerful time, Radhastami, different than Janmashtami. Janmashtami is a time of abundance, of celebrating Krishna's unlimited qualities, and just reciprocating with that unlimited nature of Krishna by unlimited glorification. On Radhastami, it is the festival of the devotees who are trying to serve Krishna. Janmashtami is the glorious day where we are making it known to the world at large. Krishna, Stu Bhagavan Swayam. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. There is no doubt about it. His appearance, after all, was not ordinary, because Krishna appeared in Mathura in the jail in his four-handed form, fully grown, fully decorated with jewels and helmet and so on. Krishna's birth, therefore, Janma, was not a Janma in the true sense, not a birth in the true sense. But Srimati Radharani is in all respects his perfect counterpart. Therefore, as Krishna's appearance was not an ordinary appearance, an appearance in this world, in the same way, Srimati Radharani's appearance was also not in an ordinary appearance. One day, Maharaj Vrishabhanu was approaching the Yamuna. And as he was approaching the Yamuna, within the waters of the Yamuna, there was one particularly extremely effulgent lotus flower. The effulgence of that lotus flower was so attractive that Maharaj Vrishabhanu just felt like taking that lotus flower. So he went into the water of the Yamuna and approached that lotus flower, and then he saw that in the whirl of that lotus flower there was the cause of that effulgence, and that it was not actually the lotus flower itself that was so effulgent, but that it was this little girl of golden complexion who was lying there in that lotus. And he forgot all his ideas about taking that lotus, and he just picked up that little girl with great joy in his heart, and brought her home. And in this way, Kirtida conceived a child, somewhat unusual. But a divine appearance, just like Krishna's appearance, is a divine appearance. Of course, because Srimati Radharani is not of this world. She's not a conditioned soul or one who is bound by the laws of nature and then becomes entrapped in a material body and has to take birth under the duress of being squeezed out of a material body and so on, and staying in the womb and all those things that we ordinary mortals went through. Srimati Radharani is always transcendental. She is not Jiva Tattva. She is not in that category of an ordinary living being. She is in the category of Shakti Tattva, a different energy of Krishna altogether. Altogether, a different energy of Krishna. And she is that of the... She is the part of the internal energy of Krishna. That is Krishna's Antaranga Shakti, his Bahiranga Shakti, and his Tatastha Shakti. So the Antaranga Shakti is the internal spiritual energy of Krishna. The Bahiranga Shakti is the material energy where we are now in this world, and the Tatastha Shakti are we, the living beings. So Srimati Radharani is to be taken as a divine being, a divine expansion of Krishna, Krishna's internal energy, the Ladini Shakti, Krishna's pleasure potency. So, just as Krishna is Govindam Adi Purusham, or the original Purusha, everything from Krishna, so many other forms emanate. Balaram emanates, and then we see Krishna expands himself into 16,108 forms in Dwarka, and Krishna expands himself in the form of Narayan, but all along Krishna is never alone. As Krishna expands himself into Balaram, Revati is also there. His consort is there. As Krishna expands himself into 16,108 forms, his female consort again is there in 16,108 queens in Dwarka. And when Krishna is expanding himself as Narayan, then Lakshmi is also there. So it is said the origin of all these various Vishnu forms of Krishna is Mahavishnu. It is from Mahavishnu that all these various expansions of Krishna manifest. And the counterpart of Mahavishnu, as it's described in the Vishnu Purana, is Mahalakshmi, who is an expansion of Srimati Radharani. So as Krishna expands, Radharani also expands. And then eventually Mahavishnu transforms Yada Dadi Vikara Vishesha Yogat, and Shambhu Tattva appears. And along with Shambhu Tattva there is Parvati. Again, Krishna transforms, Radharani transforms. So they are always, they are the root of the divine couple, which manifests in so many, many ways. In this way, just as Krishna is the origin of so many forms, in the same way, Radharani is also the origin of so many forms. Kirtida was very pleased that her husband brought this child. She was absolutely beyond herself, such an extremely beautiful girl. There was only one issue: the girl's eyes were like just... She was... They were closed. Somehow or other, no matter how they try, they wouldn't open. With two hands, eyes were closed. By no means would they open. And this was a cause of concern. There was something with the eyes. Something wrong with the eyes. But at the same time, still they were so pleased. So therefore they organized for a Jatakarana ceremony, a celebration, a ritual to celebrate the birth and invoke auspiciousness. And for such a ceremony, everyone was invited. So the neighbors were also invited. And Krishna happened to be the neighbor, because it happened to be so that in that area there were two hills. It's kind of a flat area, very flat, but then suddenly there's these two hills, and one hill is Nandishwar, where Krishna resides in Nandagram, and the other hill is the hill of Varsana, where Srimati Radharani resided. Previously, Nanda Maharaj and Yasoda had lived in Vrindavan, but there's too much disturbance there, so they had moved. So Maharaj Vrishabhanu had also moved. So they were neighbors before, and they were neighbors again. They lived there now next to each other. Therefore, when they invited everyone, Krishna's parents also came and brought their child. And as Srimati Radharani was lying in the cradle, they lifted up little Krishna, who then saw the little child, and she opened her eyes then. Which everyone understood and everyone noted, that she had no other interest than seeing Krishna. That was all that she wanted to see. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains like that and says that, he says, don't look at that form of Krishna at Kesigat, who stands there in his tree-bent form, his tree-manga rupa, because he will make you blind. He will steal your sensual power. He will steal the sight to see, the power to see. He will steal the power to hear. He will steal the power to taste, to touch. He will steal all sensual functions. This was exactly the situation with Srimati Radharani. Already before she saw Krishna. It was already stolen. It was not that her sense of sight and all her sensual power was stolen at that time when she saw Krishna for the first time. It was already stolen. There was purvarag. There was previous connection. There was eternal connection. She appeared in this world like that, now in the form of a child. Whereas in the spiritual world, of course, Radha and Krishna are not appearing in child forms. It is said that for the first period of her life up to Boganda, Srimati Radharani was particularly embodiment of compassion, of mercy. That particularly is her focus. And for us, of course, that is our focus. Everyone is kind of excited about Radhastami. Some came from far to celebrate here, from all over the country. Because after all, these are the presiding Radha Krishna deities for South Africa as a whole. That is not ordinary. And that was Srila Prabhupada's desire. It was Srila Prabhupada who desired that this temple would be erected here. And therefore it was by Srila Prabhupada's invitation and desire that C.C. Radharadhanath became the presiding deity for us. Prabhupada gave names like that. Radha Parishishvara. Who gives such names, you know? I mean, Radha Londonishvara. Which Acharya gave such names, right? But these names also are so meaningful because they make it really clear, right, that these forms, these deities are actually looking after a particular area. So we are very much in South Africa under the care of Sri Sri Radharadhanath. So surely Sri Sri Radharadhanath our Lord's are in the hearts
of all of us,
undoubtedly, and we are therefore approaching through the deities, because with the deities we get the opportunity to render some direct service. So many people have come and have put bottles of milk on the altar, or some fruits, and I don't know what else, what other service has been done. There's always a board, and today's boga is sponsored by such and such. We can connect, we can do service. That is the unique feature that we have here. Otherwise, we can pray. We can pray, of course, to Srimati Radharani. But how do we know that she will really hear our prayer? How can we be sure that that our service is reciprocated with? We can have faith, you know, yes, yes, she is very merciful. She is extremely compassionate. So surely, surely, she will give us the mercy, yes. But here we can serve directly. In this form, Srimati Radharani can be approached. So today, if we get any opportunity to render some service to the deity, to bring a gift or something, anything, we can think about that. There's still a lot of time to do, to give something. Some give jewelry, oh yes. Some give the bottles of milk, or some give baskets of fruit, whatever may be given. That is our saving grace, service. It is through service that we can be sure that our prayer is answered. Service is such a thing that it attracts mercy. Therefore, that is our unique relationship here. So it's our good fortune that we came on this day to celebrate here. Radha and Krishna grew up, and when they came to youth, right, they became kishori. They became youthful, and at that Kaisora age, of course, at that time, their relationship changed, because at that time, particularly, the Madhurya Ras, or the conjugal pastimes or attraction between them, began to manifest, and there were. It began with stolen meetings, hidden meetings. Different messages were being sent. I read in scriptures that Radha and Krishna would sometimes communicate with each other through smoke signals. So the original smoke signals come from there, right? Not from the Red Indians and so on, but actually, Radha and Krishna would communicate with each other through smoke signals. I mean, no details, but must have been pretty intricate. Of course, there were many other means of communicating. Through parrots, pet parrots. And these parrots were quite well-versed. Right? They were not just your kind of parrot that also can say, "Aribal." These parrots were absolutely well-versed and eloquent parrots that could not only speak, but also take initiatives. Not only would they repeat a message, but they were real messengers that could understand how to speak according to the need of the situation. So these parrots were very intelligent parrots, fully conscious parrots. not parents of this world. So in this way, we see that between Radha and Krishna, there are four particular aspects that exist with Krishna in Vrindavan. It is Rupa Madhurya, Venu Madhurya, Lila Madhurya. Venu Madhurya, the flute. The flute is a major ingredient in the connection between Radha and Krishna. And this flute, again and again, is appearing there in the pastimes of Radha and Krishna. Krishna went to Bamsibad, and at Bamsibad, he was blowing that flute. And that flute, it was just penetrating the layers of the universe and penetrating the entire three worlds. The flute of Krishna was agitating the various demigods. Lord Shiva spontaneously began to dance and has this little drum, the din-din drum, tiny drum with like chords and stones on the chords, and then so in this way, Lord Shiva with his little drum in his hand was playing on the rhythm of the flute. There are so many references to the rhythm section. It says that in the monsoon season, the thunder clouds are also, they are rhythmically producing thundering sounds as to imitate the sound of Mridanga to accompany Krishna's flute playing. So Krishna's flute playing certainly attracts the attention of the entire universe. Although the dull, conditioned living beings don't know that they're influenced by Krishna's flute. But for the residents of Vrindavan, Krishna's flute playing was just something that would completely capture their mind, and they would forget all activities. Everyone would just stop and then just listen to this flute play. The cows would become completely overwhelmed, their ears like cups, and they were drawn into this sound, and it was just too much. They couldn't bear it. It was so intense that at one point the cows stood up on their hind legs and covered their ears with their legs, trying to block that sound. But then they begged Krishna, stop. Krishna continued. Then the cows put a blade of grass as a sign of humility and prayed Krishna, please stop. Krishna still didn't stop. Then the cows froze like statues. Everyone in Vrindavan was completely affected by the flute. The gopis, when they heard that flute, they could hear that Krishna was speaking through this flute, and that Krishna basically said, drop everything, and just come now, immediately. But when Srimati Radharani heard that flute, she heard something else. And that is the interesting thing, that although everyone heard Krishna's flute playing, everyone heard something else. And when Srimati Radharani heard Krishna's flute playing, what she heard was, you are the only one. You are the only one in my life. That is what she heard. And nothing else. Meanwhile, all the gopis heard, come, drop everything, and all of you, all come immediately. So they all came immediately. And there, of course, Krishna said, oh, what are you young girls doing here all alone in the dead of night in the forest? Don't you know that the forest is a very dangerous place? Not at all. So we are here to collect flowers. is this a time to collect flowers? This is not a time to collect flowers. This is the time you should be home. The reputation of a girl is all she has, is her true wealth. And, you know, wandering around so late at night alone in the forest without any company. And then in the association of a young boy, is that... no, better you go back right now. Gopis were not going. They were not planning to go back, but they were shocked. How could Krishna say this? After he had pierced their heart completely with his flute playing, they could not believe that he was telling them to go back. They were so shocked that they couldn't believe that he was saying it. How is it possible that Krishna is saying such a thing? It didn't register. But then they decided, we're not going. And Krishna tried in various ways, appealing to morality, appealing to dangers in the forest. And nothing could deter them. They stayed. But Krishna kept on saying, go back home. And then they didn't know what to say anymore. They got an anxiety. And with their toes, they started to scratch the ground with their toes and leave marks on the ground. In this way, Krishna was calling the gopis by flute playing. So this flute is remaining eternally an important ingredient in the pastimes between Radha and Krishna and the gopis. And at one point, Srimati Radharani just said, like, this flute has completely captured Krishna. Because he is actually, I'm ashamed to say, in Sanskrit, the word for flute is a male word. Right? So she said, this flute has stolen our property, the lips of Krishna. And although he is male, I'm ashamed to say, he's constantly touching the lips of Krishna, which are our property. So it's described in Chaitanya Charitamrita. So Srimati Radharani was very upset about this flute. At one point she said that if this flute is the dearmost to Krishna, then I will now go to the Kalpataru, the wish-fulfilling desire tree at Govardhan, and I will now request this tree that I can become a flute. Yes, then I will become a flute. If that is what is required, I will be a flute. This is the mood of Srimati Radharani. She is completely, completely eager to satisfy Krishna and every single one of his desires. That is her aim. Nothing else. I should tell a little more. So in due course of time, it was decided, to arrange for the marriage of Srimati Radharani. Gosh. And somehow or other, Nandamukhi said, never ever before was there such an unsuitable match in this world. Never ever. And it has not ever happened. My God. How is it possible? And Srimati Radharani, who cannot bear the touch of anyone but Krishna's, any other man but Krishna's, how can she be married to this Abhimanyu? So that, of course, became a whole thing, and many times Abhimanyu became the source of everyone's laughter For example, when Krishna took the place of Abhimanyu, dressed up like Abhimanyu, looked like Abhimanyu, went just boldly, walked right into the house of Abhimanyu, greeted his mother, Jyotila, right? And then went straight to his wife, in parentheses, and was enjoying with Srimati Radharani in various joking pastimes when just then the real Abhimanyu was coming home, and Krishna said, "Look, there is that rascal Krishna. He is dressed up like me. See that? That's incredible." And Jyotila went after him with a stick, like, "Oh, you rascal, get out of here. And, mother, mother, what are you doing? Why are you beating me? Out, you rascal." In this way, Radha and Krishna, in this way the coast was clear. Not only was Abhimanyu gone, but Jyotila as well. So in this way, so many arrangements were there for the pastimes. Absolutely. So in Yavat, the place where Srimati Radharani stayed after her marriage, in the house of her in-laws, in that place, Yavat, we can understand that the viraha, or the mood, or the vipralamba, the mood of separation, became more acute. Because previously, the meetings between Radha and Krishna, as I said, were stolen moments, hidden moments, parakiya ras, right? Not in a marital relationship, not swakiya, but parakiya, the relationship of a paramour. Why the relationship of a paramour? Because, you know how it is, at least many of you know how it is. Looking for a moment at the male side of the room, you know, when you have that ring on your finger, something has changed. If you know what I'm talking about. Now you have obligations. Krishna had no ring on his finger, at least not that ring. The rings he had, but not a wedding ring. Oh no. Oh no, oh no. There was no obligation. Oh no. Oh no. There was no such thing that Radharani could put any claim on Krishna and say, "It's your duty." Asli shiva padaratam pinastama madarsanam amam natta kuru dva yadama vidadata lampato matprana natas tu saiva napara. Krishna is the lampato. He is unreliable. He is unreliable. That is exactly what Radharani said to the bumblebee. "You unreliable servant of an unreliable master." "You go from flower to flower and steal some honey just like your master. Just see. You unreliable servant of an unreliable master." It is interesting that as a devotee becomes fixed in devotional service, that devotee comes to the stage where he will say, "Krishna, Krishna, I am yours. I am yours." And you know, the point where one actually surrenders to Krishna, says, "Krishna, I am yours." It's rare in this world. Manushyanam sahasri sukastityati. Who's doing that? Very rare. Rarely found that someone said, "Who is yours?" But when it comes to the gopis and Srimati Radharani, they don't say, "Krishna, I am yours." They say, "Mamata, Krishna, you are mine. You are mine. You are my property." That mood is there. Krishna is my property. Krishna is completely mine. That is the whole meditation. The meditation is how to attract Krishna. How to somehow or other keep him captured. Oh yes. Never, never can it be taken for granted. Now, Krishna, you are mine. I've got you in my pocket. For a moment, and next moment he's gone. Oh, Krishna, I cannot walk anymore. I am so tired. We danced for such a long time. I cannot move my limbs. Oh, Krishna, please, please. You'll have to carry me. There's no other way. I can't move. You'll have to carry me. And just... next moment, Krishna disappeared. So, Mamata, he is mine. And she was treating him, oh, you'll have to carry me. Nothing anymore like, I am yours, your servant. No, you are my servant. And you'll have to carry me. That's the mood. That's the mood. But of course, it doesn't always. And then, of course, Srimati Radharani is broken-hearted. Totally broken-hearted. But even in that state, of being neglected by Krishna, she will not forget him for a moment. That is the interesting thing, how she is so much neglected. So one day in Yavat, at that time, Jatila wasn't there. Even Kottila, the sister of Abhimanyu, who says she is, the gopis say about Kottila that she is the most beautiful girl in all of Vrindavan, with her breasts that are just like string beans and her belly that is like a pot. And because she is so extremely beautiful, therefore she is immune to the attraction of Krishna. And that is Kuntila, the sister of Abhimanyu. Anyway, both of them were not there, nor Jyotila nor Kuntila. On that particular day, suddenly in the courtyard of the house, this amazing personality appeared. A goddess, apparently. I mean, because a lady dressed in opulent clothing, a lady with bodily features as are not seen on this earth. And this lady somehow sat down in the courtyard of the house of Srimati Radharani in Javad. So Radharani sent out, she was elated. She looked out of the window and she saw this beautiful female form and was just surprised. Who is this personality? She must be very exalted. She must be very pure because she has these amazing features. Who can have such features? We are greatly honored by such a guest. So, therefore, she sent some of her servants to go and greet the lady and find out who she was. So, the gopi maid servants went to find out who this personality was, but they didn't get any answer. She didn't reply. So it was like a little shocked, you know, what's going on? Why is she not speaking? Are we not good enough for her? But then Radharani was suggesting, so Radharani personally came out of her quarters and said, oh, please, you must be upset with us that you are not speaking with us. But you know, we are here at your service. You must have traveled a long way to come here. So please allow us to offer you some resting place. We'll offer you a comfortable bed where you can lie down for a while. And you please allow us to serve you, and we will massage your body. But again, this goddess, this lady, did not answer. Then Radharani started to confer with Lalita, and she said, Radharani said, I think that she is very distressed. And that she's really like very going through some great sadness. So then Radharani became very soft and gentle. And she said, Oh my dear goddess, what is wrong with you? What calamity has happened to you? Please don't remain quiet. You can trust us. We are girls like you. We are going through the same as you are going through. We are in the same position. And you must know that shared sorrow, okay, is immediately relieved. You will feel relieved if you express your pain. So please speak of the matter that is in your heart. And then the goddess began to speak. And the goddess said, Yes, you are right. You are right. You have understood. Indeed, I am going through a great sadness. I'm going through a great sadness. All the gopis are like, great sadness. And everyone was getting ready for some family drama, and of some husband who obviously, some lover who had obviously mistreated her. They were ready for that, you know, to hear such a story. There are so many such stories in this world because men, you know, they are of such a nature. They are not faithful. That is the difficulty. So they were getting ready for it, but then this goddess said that, actually, she said, yes, I am greatly distressed. Actually, I am a demigoddess. And you know, we as demigods and demigoddesses are given a particular vision that we can witness. We can witness the pastimes or activities that are taking place here on earth. And I have witnessed everything. Every moment. I haven't missed anything. I have witnessed every detail of how Krishna has treated you, she said to Radharani. Oh, and it is just incredible. It is incredible. How can he treat you like this? You who are 100% fully dedicated to him, and he just ignores you and just is unfaithful and goes off with someone else. How can you tolerate it? I cannot tolerate it. I cannot tolerate it any longer. And therefore, I had to come here. I had to come here. And the whole thing came out. What Krishna is doing to you, it is just too much. How can he plunge you so cruelly into an ocean of separation? How can he act like this? He is heartless. Srimati Radharani said, enough. Don't speak like that about Krishna. Said, Krishna is full of love. Krishna is full of, he is always kind and merciful towards me. You call that merciful when he just brutally leaves you like that? With a bleeding, broken heart, you call that merciful and kind? Have you? I think due to the pain of distress, you are losing your mental faculties.
No, Radharani said. No, Krishna. Krishna is never separated from me. Never. Never, ever. Krishna is always, always, at every moment, completely absorbed in thought of me. In fact, we are never, ever separated. Not even for a fraction of a moment. We are because we are one. We are one. We are completely one. We are never said, well, the goddess said, it sounds nice. It sounds that you have found a way, right, to deal with the distress and to somehow or other, you have created some sort of illusion by which you can bear the pain. But I'm sorry to say, I must be honest, I'm not convinced. If you and Krishna are really one, then you must prove it to me, that you will bring him here right now. All right, Srimati Radharani said, I will bring him here right now. And she closed her eyes and started to pray intensely for Krishna to appear. And the goddess quickly took off her disguise and took on the original form of Krishna. And then when she opened her eyes, Krishna was present. Radharani is just overwhelmed. Suddenly Krishna is there. And she said, where did that goddess go? And Krishna said, oh, she said she had to go back. And in this way, we should understand the inner secret of that separation. That Radha and Krishna cannot be separated. It is not possible. It is not possible. They're always one. They're always one. So this separation is the most difficult thing to understand. Right? Because here in this world, you know, when there's separation, we think like, two lovers separated, oh my God, you know, now the misery starts. Now it's like they stop to eat and they suffer, they lose weight. And Radharani is even worse. She is lying there, knocked out in Nirvan at the verge of death, right? Totally like emaciated. Right? I mean, how is this ecstasy? Is this the perfection of your spiritual, of your movement? Is this what Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to give? No thanks. No thanks. You can keep it. This separation is so hard to understand. But Radha and Krishna are never separated. They are one. They're always completely absorbed in thoughts, in deep emotional waves towards one another. And there's never a moment that they are not. So where's the question of separation? They are one. This is explained by Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur in his book Prema Samputa, which is this story, right, which I just told. This story is told to us by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, who explains in this book the nature of that separation being the highest sentiment, the highest sentiment in bhakti. Because within that, the eagerness increases, the love even increases, the intensity increases. Still, it's hard to understand. I think even after hearing from Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur and such a beautiful story, we still can't get it. It still appears that the meeting between Radha and Krishna is higher. Who's calling? It's Krishna trying to call Radharani. She must be in an angry mood, in man, because she's not picking up the phone. She even switched it off now. I think Krishna must be in anxiety. Krishna must now be suffering tremendously and thinking of all his misdeeds. He must be thinking of what he has done to her. How I have mistreated her. What a fool I am. Why have I acted in this way when I really have no other interest than to please her? Why did I neglect her? Why am I such a fool? So Krishna also is experiencing these same feelings of separation. Then why did Krishna create them? Why? This question will remain on the table for a while. And no, Krishna, we will not answer your call. You can call as much as you like, right? We will switch off the phone on you very surely and determinedly. Off. Otherwise, Kadambakarana Swami, who is the humble servant of the servant of the servant of Srimati Radharani, will be sent as a constable and will have to personally confiscate that phone and donate it to the Sankirtan movement. And you wouldn't want that to happen, would you? Yes, in this way.
There are mysteries, isn't it? Mysteries.
Why is Krishna, if he himself suffers from the separation,
why is he creating it in the first place? If he himself cannot bear it, why is he creating it? All right, to increase the love of his devotees, all right, but he's suffering himself. But this is our Krishna, who places the happiness of his devotees way above his own happiness. Krishna will any time sacrifice his own happiness, although it's unbearable for him to be in this separation from Srimati Radharani. Unbearable. But Krishna will any time sacrifice his own happiness for the happiness of his devotee. That is interesting. So there's a few minutes left before 8:13 today. Any question or comment so far? Yeah. What did I say? Baby forms, yes. The baby forms of Radha and Krishna are not present in the spiritual world. Aren't those forms eternal? Yes, they are eternal, but they're only manifest in the material world. See? So that is the unique feature of the material world, where Radha and Krishna, for their pleasure, are performing pastimes where they take on the form of children. In the spiritual world, they're always in that form of kishori, right? Of this, in youth, in blooming youth. Of course, that doesn't mean their parents are still seeing them like children. They treat them like children. Mother Yasoda still wants to breastfeed Krishna. Whereas Krishna is, not exactly acting like a baby. So that is, that's here in the material world. Other question? Well, if there's no other question, then we'll just end now when there are more opportunities today to discuss and hear and so on.
And we'll just 8:30 is supposed to be the darshan, so we'll just end and start to do kirtan. Thank you very much. Shri Shri Radhastami Maha Mahotsava Ki Jai. Shri Shri Radha Radha Nara.